This podcast is brought to you by Julius Meinl Coffee.
We are joined on the line by Scott Miller. Scott, welcome to the show.
Evening, guys. How are we doing?
Not too bad at all. And Scott, look, we're just having a bit of a chat about some of the coaches to look out for in the some of the guys coming through the ranks at the NPL level and even some of the assistant coaches. Can you tell us maybe some of the guys to keep a lookout for in the next couple of years who may be next in line?
That's always a big question, isn't it? Because I think the commentary of my position when I was appointed at Newcastle was an outsider. So I don't think it's anyone in particular. I think it will come down to connection, reputation, but most importantly, the demand of the football club. Having spoken to a number of clubs over the last couple of years, there's no real evident trend, is there, when you look at it? And you look at Marco Kurtz coming in from Adelaide and obviously Western Sydney Wanderers appointing a German coach as well. There's no real trend. But personally, I don't have names for you, if I'm honest, because it's hard to pick. But I would like to see more Australian managers get an opportunity. There's no doubt about that. Whether or not it happens, it seems to be a trend at the moment that we're looking far afield. And that worries me a little bit because some coaches might actually get a bit despondent with the lack of opportunity. And I think we need to respect our coaches more and provide more opportunity.
Scott, what about someone like a John Anastasiadis or even a George Katsakis? Two of the names we've spoken a lot about as two of the NPL coaches to really take a look at. Could you see eventually that maybe one of the expansion bids or if one of the A-League teams are looking to bring in a new coach, would you say that they're in and around the discussion at the moment?
Well, they're the two men you'd have to talk to. The key questions are, it can be a political one, as we're aware. But the thing is, the challenge for Australian coaches is new clubs coming in will need to have a definitive brand and they'll want to have an impact. And that won't just be with players, it will be with coaches as well. So, yes, John's done a great job. It would be up to him if he wants to make that step. He's done fantastically at Bentley and he might be quite comfortable because ultimately the life as a head coach is quite transitional in a sense that you're moving your family and upheaval is not easy to deal with. But more importantly, I think the clubs coming in will need a brand and unfortunately they might not trust their judgment regarding Australian coaches and need a more high-profile person because the thing with these new clubs, they need the commercial element as well and they'll need sponsorship and sometimes having a big name can support that. It might not be the right reasons. However, commercially, it can support the club's promotion a lot more with a bigger name.
Hi, Scott. It's Louise.
Louise, how are you doing?
Great, thank you.
Haven't seen you for a while.
I know. You'll have to come and pay us a visit in the studio. Speaking of high profile, could you see an expansion team potentially, you know, looking at luring Ange Postecoglou back to the A-League?
I mean, that would be pretty special, wouldn't it? You got me there. You stumped me there. I didn't even consider that. I don't know whether or not Ange would do that. That's one for him as well. I see his next move to Europe, if I'm honest with you. He might be comfortable in Asia, but it's always dangerous talking about other managers. He's a manager I look up to, and I don't think his ambition would potentially to return to the A-League in that role, but I can't speak for him. I just look up to him and see him making further steps to potential European countries and clubs like that personally. But that would be a massive coup for the A-League and for the brand, I think, as well. But it would take a lot, I think. It would take a lot because relationships and trust are huge for a manager and control is as well, and also budget. Budget's the big thing for a manager. We're not magicians. You need quality players. You need resources. And that would have to be guaranteed for any coach coming into the league, whether it be current teams or expansion.
Indeed. And Scott, I was just touching on a point with Nick before your call about how important it is for our Australian coaches to be coaching abroad because it not only is good for the Australian game, but it's also providing a pathway for many players.
There's no doubt. I was in Aalborg and I tried to sign four players from the A-League, and we're quite close with those players. So reputation by having our coaches in Europe is big because when it comes to negotiations of talent and talent identification, at least they're considering this part of the world. So it's great for players. But most importantly, the fact that Australian coaches are doing it is awesome. I just think it's a brave thing to do as well. I've spent more time coaching overseas than I have in Australia, really, and I can't value it enough. Your exposure to a different level of player improves you as a coach quicker. because it's a full-time environment to the intensity where you're playing more games at a higher level. So you're forced to learn very quickly, and that can only benefit Australian coaches. But, you know, maybe it's quite challenging for me sitting here because I want more Australian coaches coaching in the A-League, in assistant positions and A-League head coaches roles. But that's the chairman's decision, and they're entitled to that. And they must feel that some foreign coaches are better off at this time. But we need some inspiration. Us young Australian coaches need inspiration and opportunity. There's no question about that. And it's hard to see sometimes, but you got to be patient, right?
Yeah, you do. And I mean, Scott, in terms of, you know, young coaches going abroad and you know, really making a mark overseas, how do you kind of, and I know you're touching on the fact that we need Australian coaches coaching in the A-League. How do we, though, continue the production line of coaches, you know, going overseas and doing their thing, like even a Joe Montemurro, who is at Arsenal Ladies?
Yeah. Well, it's about education. That's the first thing. Our curriculum needs to be nailed on, and it needs to be consistent, and it needs to be aligned with the exposure of the education overseas. I was fortunate enough to move my licences with the FA in England, and they were hard. They were very difficult from the perspective of who you're doing it with and the quality of play you're working with. They were very extensive. So the education's one. Opportunity is not easy. And that's why I use the word brave. Any coach who's Australian working overseas right now, let me assure you, it's not easy. I think the position I found myself in for 10 years, I started at the bottom and worked my way up. And that was my mentality at the time. So, as I said, for Joe at Arsenal, it's a great stepping stone. Whether or not it opens other opportunities, I think it's an individual thing as a coach. I really do, because coaches come and go very quickly, and it's a big step to make. So I love seeing the Australian coaches actually moving abroad and challenge themselves, because there's no doubt it will accelerate their learning.
And Scott, just looking ahead to the A-League this season, there are 5 new coaches this year. Are you in particular excited to see one of the returning coaches or new coaches coming through?
I'm excited to see Adelaide again. I thought Marco did a great job at Adelaide last year. He came to the country with a lot of unknowns, and he stabilised that club and really pushed them forward. And you look at the position they find themselves in now in the FFA Cup. You know, not only has he stabilised and he's recruited, and they're pushing. They're really pushing. I'm excited to see his development. I think that's a great thing. Melbourne Victories, your Sydneys are obviously going to be of significance again. I personally think Newcastle will be a real contender. And the reason I say that is consistency in their squad. They've only added maybe 2 or 3 players, I think. And they've managed to keep a Stephen Nagarkovic, Dimi Petrados this week, both signing. They're key players for me, and re-signing Nigel Bogart and Hoffman as well. I really see, and it's not a bias, it's actually quite an open opinion. I just think stability is really crucial for a club, and you know, the understanding of each other's and relationships. I think Newcastle are going to be really good, but it's hard to tell, because one thing I realised in the league, things change very quickly, and any team can improve very quickly with the right recruitment. So I see a positive thing for a lot of clubs. Even Central Coast Mariners recruited some experience in McCormack and Orr. So we'll have to wait and see. You can never guess, right?
Yes, that's exactly right, Scott. You never know. The A-League always throws up surprises. But at this stage of the season, considering now we're 1 week out from the A-League season starting, as a coach, what sort of stage are the players in now in terms of training? Is it just last-minute tactical conditioning, or is it still intense training and maybe a few bit more match simulation at this stage?
It will be pretty specific now. Every coach will have his own methods. There's no doubt that, you know, the sports science and medical team will really be focusing on player availability right now. They would have gone through numerous phases of loading in terms of the high-intensity football fitness work, and the last 2 weeks are more refining in terms of maintenance and really getting a clear understanding and making sure every player is available. From what I understand, it may well have changed, but the regulations were that no A-League team could play a week before the A-League. That was the final cutoff. So with a week to go, their final preparations are on the training ground and with match analysis and things like that. So I just found at this point the excitement is so close, it's so near, And with that, you need to be really measured as a coach and manage the expectations, because people tend to want to do more closer to it, but it's actually about really refining them and getting them ready, as opposed to overloading them. So anxious time for new coaches, there's no doubt. You know, Mark Rudin, first game in charge, you'll be looking forward to it, but big challenge ahead for a lot of them.
What do you think the benchmark is for a coach like Mark Rudin this season, Scott?
Well, what you'll have is you'll have his own benchmark and you'll have the club's benchmark, and I can guarantee his own benchmark will be higher than the club's, because a competitive beast like any head coach, you want to win every game, you want to sign bigger and better players, and you want more money to spend in your club. And then there's the reality. So I find through my own experience, so it only applies to myself, but first-year head coaches, and I'm possibly too young to validate this comment, but I experienced it and lived it. You've got to really manage your own expectations and really manage your energy levels as well, and be consistent in your message. And don't get tied up into the emotional results, because your team are looking for your leadership to be consistent and inspiring every week. And so you really need to manage your energy from that perspective. And with that, you see a stable team.
And Scott, looking ahead as well to just some predictions heading into this year, obviously some of the new recruits coming through in the A-League this season, we've got some brilliant names coming through in Keisuke Honda, CM De Jong, etc. Which do you see being the real boom recruit this year and potentially pushing for one of the players of the season?
Oof. Well, how do you find the player of the season? Is it someone that scores 20 goals or an attacking midfielder? I mean, We've all got different KPIs. I think Honda's going to be an outstanding. I've spoken to a few people at Victory. He's obviously of an elite level. We worked on Fox a number of weeks ago for Sydney FC v Avondale, and the ability of Lafondra to do different things as opposed to Bobo will add a massive threat. His ability to get in behind and expose the back four. So Lafondra is going to be interesting as well. It's always interesting. The visa players are here and their expectations are high. Some can match that and some can't. I'd love to see Steven Nagarkovic, Dimi Petratos have an outstanding season and a young Australian to win Player of the Year and more of these Australian players to get into that national team and really compete that possibly haven't been in that squad. And this is their platform now to do that. I'm biased. You must sound like it. I'm very biased. I love Australian players and I want them to improve and develop quickly and get the rewards they deserve through hard work.
And Scott, you spoke a lot about those young Australian guys. Just one final one before we let you go. Do you see any of those real young Australian players having a breakout season this year?
Oof, name a few for me.
If you're looking at someone... So like even like if maybe Steve Nagarkovic takes the next step, or Thomas Deng, or someone along those sort of lines, one of those real young players, a Brandon O'Neill for instance.
Well, all three have the potential to do it. It will come down to the trust and belief from the manager, which they've all got. Brandon O'Neill is an outstanding example of someone that's stepped into one of the biggest clubs in Australia, and he's holding that position. And the influence of De Jong coming in and watching them a few weeks ago. The understanding of him and Brillante, you can't take that for free. And the understanding of their roles and how they rotate with De Jong is very interesting. So, as I said, it comes back to consistency and roles. And young players are only as good as the coach's belief and trust. And if they understand their role and have consistency in performing every week, which he has, if you look at his results and performances, he played all last year. Brandon O'Neill could go to the next level because he's clever. He's intelligent with and without the ball. And he'll only mature further. And he's in a strong side. So they're going to have a lot of the ball. It looks as if they might tactically be affected slightly and play a bit more of a transitional game in terms of the recruits. But it's exciting. A-League's just around the corner. It seems like forever, doesn't it, Louise? It's like how many weeks have we been off? So you'll be buzzing shortly, won't you? You'll be loving it.
I am. I feel like it's been like the longest preseason in footballing history. 6 months.
Yeah, it's challenging, isn't it? I mean... You just want to be sitting in the stadium, nice and warm night, watching a game in A-League. So I can't wait for it to hit us right between the eyes, and then we kick off again.
Yes, it will, and it won't be long, as you touch on next week. It starts. But Scott, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's fascinating to listen to your insight into the coaching realm.
yeah, it's not an easy job, so go easy on them, right? Yeah. Don't criticise them too hard throughout the season. I've got a very hard role. Take
it
easy.
We won't. Thanks, Scott.
All right, guys. Great talk to you.